He's moving awfully slow. His back must be out of whack.
In the 21st chapter. We may mention, Will. Now, I don't know where I will or not, but we sort of where we're headed. And we may. There's some other things that I was hoping we'd get around to, and I don't know whether we'll get around to them or not. Nonetheless, in the 21st chapter, we made mention, I'm going to rehash just a little bit of some things that we made mention of last night. John saw in the first verse, he saw the new heaven and the new earth. He said, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and we discussed that a little bit. I'm gonna be quite honest with you. If you thoroughly go through these chapters, it takes a while. You don't need to go real fast, but it takes a while. If you go and run the reference and the scriptures and things that the Old Testament talks about these things, and so all we're doing is getting the highlights. That's about all we can do. But anyway, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and then he said he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And we made mention what Jerusalem was. You go back into the 65th chapter, I believe it is, of Isaiah, and he tells you what he created. He created Jerusalem, a rejoicing, I believe it, and the people of joy is what he created. In the 66th chapter, he talks about the house. Where is the house you build me? And then he tells you who he'll look to for that. Now, we're here in the 21st chapter. We've hit a little bit of it, and we talked about it, and talked about how that the Lord had, how the angel had carried him away to a great and high mountain. He said, I want to show you the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And you'll find that in the 9th verse. He said, there came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Said, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. He said, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, light unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third was chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, I can't find any separation when he told that of John. He said that he is going to show him the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then the next thing that he done was carried him to a high mountain. And he said, he showed me that great city. So what was he talking about? He's you can't reference this as heaven after a while. And there's several verses in here that will tell you so. And this is a beautiful thing. It really is. It's glorious. And I believe I told some of you that Brother Griffin Crumley preached a message one night, and I happened to be in the midst, and he read this scripture, the 10th verse. He said, "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." And Brother Griffin's text was getting high enough to see the church.
Yes,
high enough to see the church. It's what he preached out of this verse. I can't tell you everything that he preached, but I've never forgot his text. And it's always helped me, because I was reading at that time in some of this. You may think a lot of times, and I'll say this, it ain't gonna hurt you, not a bit in this world. A lot of people think that they've got to understand the book of Revelation, or they just don't understand anything. Well, that's really not true. You just need to know the Word of God. I went personally, I went for probably 6 or 7 years and never even read in the book of Revelation. And you might say, "Preacher, that's strange." I didn't have no desire to. I didn't, personally, I didn't, it didn't bother me. There's people all around me, there's preachers around me, said, you got to get in that. And I thought to myself, well, I will. And when I did, I found out that me and them didn't see things together. We just didn't see things together. And one of those things was this chapter, the 21st chapter, because they preached it as being heaven after a while.
Yes,
after this life, what they preached. That's not what I preach you. That's not what I'm going to teach you. The scripture teaches you, if you'll just listen to it and read it. I'm not putting words in here. Let's leave the scripture like it says.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." So he showed him, first of all, a city come down from God. That's the first thing he showed him. And in the first verse, he showed him that. New heavens and a new earth. Did he not? He was preparing John for that Jesus had done and brought to light. There's no need of the sun or the moon in that city. Why is that? Because Jesus is the Lamb. Mm-hmm. The Lamb is the light.
Amen. Amen.
Of it. Can I ask you a question? Simple. When you get born again, does not the light reveal in you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Preacher, how can you say that? Because the light is in you.
Amen.
If you've been truly, truly born again, then you have the light. You have the Lamb. You have Christ.
Yeah.
He didn't change. He didn't change from this verse. He just began to tell you about a city. He built a city, did he not? Right in the midst of this chapter. Now you can, if you'll note some of the most precious stones that they are, even unto this day in this world, are noted in this chapter. Some of the most precious They're still precious. Why was gold so precious? Why is gold so precious today? It's still a precious, what they call a precious metal. It's a precious commodity. It's a commodity that if you have some gold, then it just continues to rise in value, does it not? Why would the Lord build a city made out of mud? He didn't do it. He took the most precious things they were in the world. Now, the pearly gates. We talk about the pearly gates. He says here that every gate was of one several pearl. One several pearl. Must have been something to see. Must have been. John saw these things. Now, the next thing, John was in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Brother Griffin preached getting high enough to see the church. He wasn't talking about this visible church.
No.
Yeah. Come on.
The sad part of it is tonight is that there's a lot of people been in church most of their life and they've never seen the church.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher, that's a pretty broad statement.
Some
never
of them don't
seen
even
the
know the
church.
Spirit.
Right.
They don't know.
Never seen the value. Never seen actually what the Lord has built in your life. The Lord builds things. He helps us with things. He gives us things. He gives us opportunity after opportunity to share what? Him. To share Him with other people. If you really think about it, when God opens a door for you to testify or witness to somebody, I'll guarantee you that you're witnessing of Him, not yourself. If you're truly witnessing, that's exactly what you do. And I'm not talking about running around saying that Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You can say Jesus all day long and still die and go to hell.
Yeah.
Preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I do.
Yeah.
There's people that's running around talking about Jesus that has not got Jesus in their heart.
Yeah.
Not had a relationship with Him. Truth of it is, they've never got high enough to see the church.
Amen.
It's amazing. It really is. Now, you might think, well, preacher, he's talking about the church. Listen to what he said. He said, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. They are. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Is that not what I just told you?
Thank you.
Listen.
Yeah.
This is what John saw. And he still showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This city is what John saw. He saw the walls. He saw the length, the height, the depth, the width. He saw that. And according, he said they measured it according to the measure of a man, 140 and 4 cubits. He said according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. There's some things in here that we overlook a lot of times. You say, preacher, you're taking away heaven. I'm not taking away heaven. The truth of it is, there's very little description of heaven in the Bible. Very little.
Yeah.
I believe in heaven. I believe there's a better place. I have no clue what it's going to be. Now, I said that. The scripture teaches us that we've been made to sit together
in heavenly places.
Together. You want to know what heaven is? Just think about one of them opportunities you had to sit in a heavenly place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll find none no better.
Amen.
There is none no better.
Amen.
I just happen to believe. You say, preacher, why did they use all these precious things? Do you not know that you're precious in the eyes of the Lord? A peculiar people is an odd people, but it ain't just odd. They are precious.
Yeah.
Precious in His sight. Why? Why did He call the children of Israel the apple of His eye? What does that mean?
Means He loves us.
Absolutely. They was precious. He loved them. I've not done a lot of digging on this, but it probably wouldn't hurt us to do so. But there's a part, there's even a part of the eye, the natural eye, that's called the apple. So you think about the apple of your eye. You know, we take a lot of things for granted in this life. If you was to lose a limb, you'd have to function in a different manner.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you lost one eye, you'd have to function less one.
Yeah.
Believe you me, I don't want to find out. But things change. Your lifestyle would change.
Yes.
Yes.
Drastically. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of folks that's lost limbs that didn't make it. They give up.
Mm-hmm.
They give up. There's a lot of things that you lose a limb. Sometimes it cost a lot of hurt with that one that you still got. Have to go through some surgeries, have to go through some other things because you're using it more and you're using it in a different manner. You ever thought very much about having to tie your shoe with one hand? Just think about that. I'm not getting on to you. You know, the Lord has blessed us very much so. And He's blessed us to be the church. I just happen to believe today, in this day and hour, that the church is the apple of God's eye. I believe He looks at us just like He looked at the children of Israel. He loves us. He loves us. He cares for us. He really does. If you believe, and you have to believe. Because if you don't believe, then you're an unbeliever.
Yeah.
And they ain't gonna unbeliever gonna be there. They ain't gonna make it. Not only that, you're not gonna benefit from anything that He gives to the church. You know,
parents.
I'm hush. Amen. He said the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So we have the light. We have no need of the sun, the S-U-N, or the moon. Now, if you take the scripture for what it says, what did he say? He said, walk in the light. And you what? You'll not stumble. How can you walk in the light if you don't have a light?
Amen.
We hear the scripture a lot of times. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I've always been one to ask questions. And the question I ask is, how can you work something out that you don't have? You have to have it to work it out. Work out your own. You'll never get saved. That scripture's not talking about a person getting saved when they want to, nor when they please, or work it out. That ain't what that scripture's talking about. Can't be. Why do I say that? You cannot save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It takes what Jesus done on the cross, and you have to believe it by faith.
Yeah.
By faith. And you have to open your heart and let him in. And once he comes in, folks, this is where we are. This is what we are. We're precious. We're a jewel in his eyes, because he's purchased us with his own blood. Now, I could, you say, preacher, that just took away everything I believe about heaven. Well, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are going to heaven just because the streets are of gold, as this says? No. You really think about it. There's one reason you're going to heaven. And one reason only. Because you've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Them that have their names written in what? The Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Preacher, I didn't know. Read in the scriptures. Read over here in the second chapter, Book of Revelation. See what you get when you overcome. He tells you. He most certainly does. So, me, as far as teaching and preaching, when it comes to this chapter, you'll never hear me say it's heaven. Will hear me say it's the church of the living God. Because that's exactly what it is.
Amen.
Now, it also says that the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. Did you know there's no night there?
No dark.
None. Well, what does that mean, preacher? It means that the invitation is
on
all day long.
Yes.
Now, ain't no night. It's open all day long. So it's never shut. The invitation.
The day of grace.
And it can't be heaven, because over in the next verse it talks about the healing of the nations. And if it's heaven, we already healed, so it can't be heaven.
Exactly. Now, he gets into, we get into the 22nd chapter. You say, preacher, that's got to be talking about heaven. You tell me where the river of life runs.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me where the river of life is. And you also tell me why the river is even there. This scripture tells us, 22nd chapter, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're talking about after death, and you're talking about heaven, then why is there any need of healing?
Yeah.
Why? That's the question. You're not going to need no healing when you get to heaven.
Amen.
You need healing today.
Amen.
Yes, yeah. Sir. We need to eat the fruit off of the tree of life. And we have that access. We do. The river of life runs through the church.
Amen.
There's no other means whereby you can be saved except at the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
No other means. None. You may get saved on the side of a mountain over yonder somewhere, but I'll promise you one thing. You'll be part of the body of Christ if you get really born again. And then you'll want to be a member of some local assembly called the church. Because that's where the life is, and that's where the healing is.
Yeah.
People want to be healed. I'm not going to get started.
Come on.
You just bear with me. There shall be no more curse. Did you hear that? No more curse.
You once preached that Christ was the curse of that.
What?
I said you preached one time that Christ became the curse for us.
Yeah.
He hung on a tree.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. The curse has been taken away through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you live in this world and you do not know Him personally as your personal Savior, I'm afraid it's going to be bad for you.
Yeah.
According to the Word of God, you'll wind up in the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Fire ain't never quenched. The worm don't die. What do you mean, preacher? That soul will die and die and never die.
Yeah.
It'll wish to die.
Yeah.
There's a better way than me. He says, no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. What did he say in the 21st chapter? And the Lamb, for the glory of God, did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And and his servants shall serve him. Not gonna need any serving after a while. We're not a... We went over the first night over in the book of Isaiah, and we talked about being married. We're married to God, the church, the mother church. She's the mother. It's where the children are born. He said, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Also says in the Old Testament, it says of his kingdom and of his government there shall be no end. No end. When he saved a person, he saves them forever.
Amen.
Eternally. Preacher, I don't know where I believe that. I'm gonna say this. My eternal life began the night I got saved.
Amen.
It began.
Amen.
It's not over, folks. It ain't gonna be over. I don't know about you, but I ain't looking for no great big change.
Yeah.
It's gonna take the Spirit of God. And if we have anything in this life to help this world with, then it's gonna have to be spiritual. It's gotta be of the Lord. And the Bible does say that God is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher, is that what come? That's exactly what come down.
Yeah.
On the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
We call it the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. He said, Jesus himself said, if I go not away, said, the Father will not send the Comforter.
Yeah.
And that Comforter became, it's the Spirit. It's what comforts you. I can't answer tonight how a person makes it in this life without the Lord. I can't answer that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer that. You know why I can't answer that? Because I haven't been without him. He's been with me ever since I've been saved.
Yeah.
He's been my all. He's still my all.
Amen.
We all, if you live in this life, you're going to have some troubles.
Yeah.
Some disappointments. Rough times, hard times, whatever you want to call them. Doesn't mean that God don't love you. Doesn't mean that God ain't with you.
Yeah.
But the real thing of it is, can you find comfort even in the bad?
Yeah.
You better believe you can. And it's in Him.
Yeah.
It's the only peace I have.
Yeah.
Only peace I have in this world. Now, he said, no more curse. The fourth chapter. 21st chapter, the 4th verse. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Now, if you'll remember the first night, we talked about the old order of things. The old order. The old world. The old age. Everybody you want to call it, it was that of the days before grace came into this world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, death had dominion over them. The Bible says that they stood in jeopardy all their lives. Death held them captive. But what happened to death?
Victory. Yep.
This writer, John, when he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men,
mm-hmm.
and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." No more. Why could he say that? Because the Bible teaches us that he tasted death for every man.
Amen.
He tasted death. He took away the curse. He took away death.
Mm-hmm.
Death hath no more dominion over us. Scripture teaches us that. It ain't something I've come up with.
Yeah.
It's not something that some of these other men have come up with. It's what the Scripture teaches.
Amen.
Death hath no more dominion. It don't hold us captive. I had a fear. I love and appreciate the second verse of Amazing Grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace my fears relieved. I got rid of some things. I did. I got rid of some things. The night I got saved, I got rid of some things. I was terrified. Terrified.
Yeah.
I was going to die and go to hell. That's what I was terrified of. When I got saved, that terror left me.
Yes.
Preacher, you sure about it? I know for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in terror no more.
Yeah.
None. Death had no more dominion. If I died, I know I was going to hell.
Yeah.
Gonna be
Amen.
With him.
Amen.
That ought to be enough to shout about.
Yeah. Amen.
There's nothing that we can't save ourselves. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't care how much of this word you think you know. The truth of it is, it takes the Spirit of God. If you ain't got the Spirit of God, you're not one of His.
Yeah.
That book will teach you that. If you'll read it and study it and get in it, dig a little. You know what? You know what most folks do that dig around? They find things. Sometimes they find a lot of junk, but after a while they get a nugget. They get something that's good in there. I'll tell you what the Word of God will do for you. I've told most of you before, but I'll tell you again. When I figured out that the Lord was wanting me to preach, you know what I done? I laid that book right there down.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord.
I didn't open it up. I figured, this is how I figured. I figured that, hey, no way he gonna call me to preach. I don't know nothing about that word. And the truth of it is, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. But my way didn't work. It didn't work. I'd have been better off to just read and study and dug all I could do. But the truth of it is, I had something I had to do, and I wasn't willing to do it. Just wasn't willing.
Kept running after you.
Yeah. Well, that's a fact. That's a fact. But when I give in, to the calling of the Lord, you can ask my wife. We live right where we live now, but it's a lot smaller. Didn't have no big study. Didn't have no word. We had two kids at that time. Three. Had all three of them. All we had was a little old dining room table. And kids running around. They'd watch a little TV. And I'm going to tell you what I done. I sat at that dining room table and I got that word down and I began to read. I'm going to tell you something. You can believe what you want to. But brethren, the words of this book right here, you let the Lord get to talking to you and it's just like one big chain. You can't lay it down. It just gets bigger and bigger, and the chain gets longer and longer. And you think, well, I got to find a stopping place. This is good.
Yeah.
This is good. And the truth of it is good.
Amen.
But you can't retain all of it at once. It takes a while. It absolutely takes a while. But you know what it takes more than that? It takes a man being willing.
Yeah.
To forsake himself. And to put everything aside. It doesn't matter what kind of day he's had. If a man's got to stand and preach, he's going to crucify himself before he ever preaches. He'll never make it. He'll never get there. No more death. Death had dominion. Like a big claw, just grab. No more. No more. In those days, they wept and they mourned. Why did they weep and mourn so much? They couldn't get out of the misery they was in. They couldn't get away from it. And death did hold. Death had a clutch on it. The grave. The grave. They couldn't get no further than the grave. Solomon, in all his wisdom, he wrote, he said, man goeth to his long home. The grave. You go on and read over in the book of Ecclesiastes and see. See for yourself. He'll tell you about man. He'll tell you about man in Proverbs. But he also tells you, as these children has learned this week, he tells you about something called wisdom.
Yeah.
And he says, get wisdom. He says, and get, when you get wisdom,
get
understanding. He said, get it with understanding.
Yeah.
It takes understanding. It really does. Preacher, I don't understand the mind of God. I don't understand how God thinks. His thoughts is higher, they are, than our thoughts. His ways is higher than our ways. But the scripture teaches us that it was not robbery to have the mind of Christ. The mind of the Lord. He thought it not robbery, Christ himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now you tell me tonight, we're the church, we're the church of the living God. Not only that, the Bible teaches us that we are heirs of God, sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Where does that put you? Where does that put you? Does it not put you in the place and the pavilion where God dwells?
Yeah.
Where does he dwell?
Right here.
In the temple. Where's the temple?
Yeah.
Where's the tabernacle?
Yeah.
It's in the heart,
yeah,
folks.
Amen.
It's the house. Preacher, I won't have that. We're still in the flesh. We're still in the flesh, but there's a spiritual man. I'll guarantee you that'll overcome the flesh.
Amen.
Because there's something in there greater than him. The Bible teaches that. You know what's greater? Christ. Is that not what's greater in us?
Yeah.
Is that not how we're joint heirs? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Joint. Joint. That's together, folks. That means that God will do anything for us that he's done for his son.
Yeah.
Barring. No more death. He said he wiped away all tears from their eyes. From their eyes. All the weeping. And there shall be no sorrow. Nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. He's not talking about us, and after a while, he's talking about the world that passed away, those former things, gone. He became the curse for us. He's the one that tasted death for us, and he's taken away the pain that they had. He's the former things, the day that they lived in. God's. It's over. We're living in a new world since the Lord saved us. The truth of it is that new world came through this man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's where it comes from. And it's still going. Maybe some of y'all got something. I'm done.
Randy, I was thinking when you was talking about all these things in 21. The gate, the pearls, and all those precious stones. Over and over, talking about how precious this thing is. Yeah, it's precious to God, or to be precious to us.
It
too.
Is.
And what I couldn't help, I kept wanting to say there, that's he's using these natural things to describe a spiritual,
yeah.
To paint a picture, a of something spiritual. And the two verses, it makes that abundantly apparent, just kind of shines the light on it to me. It's 18 and 21, mm-hmm. where it's talking about pure gold. And then 18, he said, like unto clear glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then 21, as it were transparent glass. Physical gold is not transparent.
Right.
It's not clear.
Right.
This ain't physical thing he's describing.
Right.
He's using a physical thing to describe a spiritual thing.
Yep.
And that spiritual thing, as you said, is the church.
Yep.
That's the only things we can relate to try to get over that something is so precious.
Yes.
So should be a treasure to us.
Mm-hmm.
We use all those things that are natural treasures, trying to paint that picture in our mind about spiritual treasure.
Right.
The church.
Right.
And he also used words that were, when describing this, that they knew the importance of those things. Like blowing of the trumpet meant something to them back in those days.
Yeah.
Like, it means nothing to us. Blowing of a natural trumpet doesn't mean nothing to us. But back then, when they heard the trumpet blow, it meant something. It meant war or something's coming. The candlesticks.
The type of glass.
Yes.
How many blasts?
But that's when you got to get back into their day and read from their day, not 2026. Yeah.
21 and 12, we're talking about describing the city and the walls. Go back to Isaiah 60 and 18. It says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation.
Yep.
And thy gates praise. Now see, in that Revelation, there's only one wall.
Right.
Only one salvation.
Right.
And that's how you get into that heavenly kingdom.
Right.
Went straight to walk up.
Yeah.
And it talks about the gates on every side. There's three gates on every side. And they're open.
No excuse.
Absolutely. No excuse. It's universal to all mankind. That's the depiction of all four corners of the earth. Come. It's what the 22nd chapter says. Come. Bride said, come. Whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life free. It's what he brought.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in the Old Testament that relates to what we just went over.
Mm-hmm.
It was the three gates. That's what you have to enter by.
Right.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And why the same? Four different sides.
Right.
No matter which direction you're coming from, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Right.
You got the same three gates.
No other way. No other way.
Note in my Bible where Alan mentioned the walls, and it's Isaiah 26:1, and it says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks.
Yep.
Fortified, its strong walls, our salvation, that's protection.
Yep.
That's good.
Amen. Amen.
So enjoy your salvation here.
Yes.
Instead of trying to wait over yonder to enjoy.
Look like we need salvation when we get over there. We make
that's right.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
That's it.
For them in that day, they was prophesied that a better day was coming. Mm-hmm. They was looking for that better day.
Mm-hmm.
And it did come.
Amen.
In the fullness of time.
Paul told them over in one place that he had a lot of things he'd like to tell them, but he couldn't because that's carnal.
Yep.
And I've sat in church services and wondered what was wrong with me that I didn't feel what some of these other people felt, I guess. They'd shout and get all excited over these mansions and streets of gold and all these things. And those is all carnal things, like it's done been said, to describe something in a way that our feeble minds can understand the beauty of the church.
Yeah.
We miss heaven when we look for mansions and gold and all that stuff that don't mean nothing. What is gold in the presence of God?
Amen.
Yeah.
We miss it.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Randy, that I can experience heaven. And this ain't heaven, but I can experience heaven.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that tonight.
Amen.
I don't know. It's been good for me to be here. I was supposed to help Katie tonight.
Oh, right.
So I'm going up there and I'm going to sit there and listen. I'm going to get taught myself tonight. But I've enjoyed it. It's good for me to be here.
Bless you. Bless you.
Hope I never get so stubborn and set in my ways that I can't be showed something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.